Shout. Put your hands together and give him praise this morning. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's his breath in our lungs that enables us to give him praise and to give him glory. Hallelujah. Thank him for that right now. Did you just thank him for breath in your lungs to praise him? That you're alive to give him glory. That's why you exist. That's why I exist. To give God praise and to give him glory. Hallelujah. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out upon you, Lord Jesus, today. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your many blessings that you have given us, Lord. You have redeemed our souls. You have pulled us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock to stay. You've established our steps. You put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. So, Lord, we just give you the praise. Hallelujah. When it seemed like, Lord, we were down for the count and we were out of the race totally, Lord, you came and rescued us and you pulled us out and you gave us a new beginning. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, and we give you praise for that this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you.
One more time.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs,
in our lungs.
So we pour out our praise to you only.
Sing, great are you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Great are you, Lord.
Turn in your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 3.
Let's stand for the reading of God's word, if you can, please. Exodus chapter 3. And then I want to go over to Exodus chapter 20. Before I begin reading the scripture, I just want to say I really wrestled with God over this message. I said, God, you know it's Father's Day, and I need to preach something that's, you know, kind of light, not too heavy, and, you know, something to do with Father's Day. That's pretty much expected, right? You probably came in here this morning thinking, well, the pastor's going to preach on Father's Day. We honor our fathers today, but I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit has given me a different message for today that's for the church. How many of you will receive the word of the Lord for the church today? Hallelujah. So, you know, there's times that I do preach Father's Day messages on Father's Day, but today I sense the Spirit of the Lord has given me a different word for such a time as this. And so I believe this is going to help us today. It's a word from God. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Verse 5, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And if you would turn over to chapter 20 of Exodus, chapter 20, verses number 18 through 21, just a few verses there. Exodus 20, verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. This is right after the giving of the Ten Commandments. Verse 19 says, and they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Would you stretch your hand toward me and pray with me today? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this season that you have us in. Lord, I thank you for this word that you've given me for such a time as this. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just settle down at the cloud of your glory and the cloud of your power, Lord, would settle down in this house even now in the name of Jesus. I just pray, I pray for an ushering in, a manifestation of the power and the glory of God in this house. Lord, we need you. We need you in a very special way. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch every heart and every life. Open up the minds of your people. Open up the hearts of your people. And I pray that you'd give them the grace, Lord, to draw near to you, to not worship you from a distance, but worship you up close. Holy Spirit, come and draw us closer to you. We pray a special blessing upon our fathers today. Hallelujah. And we pray, Father, that you would be glorified with our worship. Happy Father's Day to you, Father God. And we just pray that you would be magnified and you would be glorified in this place throughout the remainder of this service. We'll give you the praise, and we'll give you the glory, and we'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. When I think about Moses, and I think about his history, I think about his past. I think about people today and how so many times they have gotten to the place where they feel like life is over for them. Their past defines them. And because of where they've come from and what's happened in their past, they feel like there's really no way that God would ever have any interest in them anymore. That there's no way in the world that God could actually use them to do something good or positive or extraordinary for the kingdom. I think about Moses and I think about what he must have gone through. Because, you know, sometimes we look at the scripture and we think all of these people that we read about in scripture, they just had it all together. They were just these holy men and women of God. Can I just tell you this morning that these people didn't have it all together? The Bible says the things that were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So God has put all of these shortcomings and failures of these men and women in the scripture for us so that you and I might have hope. And so I think about Moses as he saw that somebody was mistreating one of his fellow Hebrews, and he decides that he's going to kill this man. I mean, anger just rises up within Moses. I know you've never had any anger rise up within you before. You're always level-headed, and you always got it together. You never get angry about anything. But that's not the way Moses was. Moses got angry. And his anger got to the point it was boiling over, and he was a murderer. Right? And he found out that someone else had seen what he had done, and he was fearful, and he fled for his life, and he ran as far as he could away from where he was, and he found himself in a desert, in a wilderness, taking care of the flock with his father-in-law Jethro. And the Bible says he had been there for 40 years. Don't you think that Moses was probably thinking, every day, shame tried to overshadow him and consume him. Shame, I've killed someone. I've murdered someone. But yet, 40 years of being in the wilderness, being there with taking care of the flock, God initiates speaking to Moses. I'm here to tell somebody here this morning, I don't care how far you've gone or what's happened in your life, God will not give up on you. If hallelujah, somebody help me praise the Lord right now. God initiated a conversation with Moses, the murderer. A lot of times we just want to look at Moses as the deliverer and the one whom God used. But can I just tell you here this morning, we've all got a past and we've all got things we're not proud of. But I'm here to tell you, just because you've got some things in your life you're not proud of in your past, it doesn't mean your life is over. It doesn't mean that God doesn't still care about you. It doesn't mean that he still doesn't have a plan for your life. I'm here to tell somebody God still cares and he's got a plan for your life. I'm so thankful this morning he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. I wasn't thinking about him. I really didn't even want to serve him. I was actually trying to get away from him, but he came looking for me. He came pursuing me. He came to rescue me. He didn't give up on me because somebody was praying. Somebody was praying for you, and that's why you're sitting here in this sanctuary this morning, and you can lift up praise to the Lord and say, I am saved by blood divine. I'm redeemed by blood divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Hallelujah. He comes to Moses and says, Moses looks over and begins to speak to him, and he sees this, you know the story, he sees this bush burning, but it's not being consumed. And the Bible says that Moses was captivated. He was intrigued by this strange phenomenon. And the Bible says that when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And I'll get more to this point later, but the first thing I want to share with you this morning is God is not through with you despite your past. God is not through with you despite your past. I'm going to use one more example. Saul, the murderer, or at least one who was consenting to everybody else's doings. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8 that Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen. It's very likely that he was actually there as they were picking up their stone and stoning Stephen. As he's looking up and he sees the glory of God in the heavens, he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's basically praying for his enemies as they're stoning him to death. Are you imagining this with me? And Saul was most likely right there. He may have had some stones in his hand. He may have thrown some at Stephen himself. I don't know that. All I know is he was confirming and he was affirming. He was approving of what was being done to Stephen. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, that Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. God got a hold of him, didn't he? On his way to Damascus, God revealed himself in such a powerful way, knocked him off of that animal. You know, make a long story short, you can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 9. He was stricken blind. He couldn't see anything for three. And then a man named Ananias comes in and prays for him and prays for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, "For I will show this man how many things he must suffer for my sake." But I'm here to tell you this morning, I bring all of that up to say this. Here's my point. If God can take somebody like Moses, who was a murderer, if God can take somebody like Saul, who consented to the death of others and likely had other people killed, if he could take them and raise them up and use them for the glory, not only did he cleanse them, not only did he save them, but he used them for his purpose and for his glory. Don't you think God can use you? Don't you think God can forgive you? Don't you think God can redeem and restore your life? Don't you think if he can save murderers and use them for the glory of God, that he can save you here this morning, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done, regardless of how you say, I feel nasty. Can I just tell you here, when Jesus Christ washes you and Jesus does a work in your life, you are not the person you used to be any longer. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things can become new. God has put his hand upon you for such a time as this to work in the kingdom of God and be impactful for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number two, God has a purpose for you that will only be fulfilled through an intimate relationship with him. He has a purpose that will only be fulfilled through an intimate relationship with him. The opposite of a relationship here in Exodus is murmuring and complaining. We have to get to the place in our lives where we trust that God knows what is best for us and that he knows what he is doing. And all of this stems from knowing who he is in a personal, intimate relationship, knowing his ways. In Exodus chapter 15, the people were on a spiritual high. They had just been brought through the Red Sea. They saw the supernatural exploits of God. It was a manifestation like they had never seen before. This was a powerful demonstration of God Almighty. They were on a spiritual high, and the Bible says in chapter 15, verse 20, then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." The people are in a high jubilation. They're in praising. They're worshiping. They're thanking God for his supernatural exploits. And rightly so. If you and I had been there, we should have been praising God too. Oh, hallelujah. I praise God. I feel like I was there as I read the scripture and as I imagine that and try to relive that in my spirit. Praise God for his deliverance of his people and pulling them out of that Egyptian bondage. That's who God is. He is a deliverer. He will set you free from the power of sin. He doesn't want you to be in the clutches of Satan and led by him and mandated by the enemy. He wants you to be led by the Spirit, because they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And he that the Son sets free is free indeed. God wants freedom in the lives of his children. Hallelujah. But you know, I've been reading in the book of Exodus in my own devotions, and it's amazing to me how it parallels with the Sunday school class that we're right now, the couples class with John Bevere, this study on God, Where Are You? Some of you have been reading this book, and I just want to reference a few pages of scripture. There is a lot of scripture in here, but a few of these pages. Let me read this to you here. The people could not have been happier. They were overwhelmed by God's greatness. I'm talking about what happened there in Exodus 15 with the Red Sea crossing. The miraculous power and the goodness in delivering them from their captors. Yet only 3 days later, when they encountered the bitter waters in the wilderness of Shur, the complaining began. "What are we going to drink?" they asked Moses. This didn't make much sense. Couldn't the same God who had just parted the Red Sea provide safe drinking water? Wasn't Moses the same heroic leader he had been 3 days earlier? God did indeed change the bitter waters to sweet, but the memory of that miracle faded quickly too. A few days later, the people continued complaining, this time about the food. They murmured, "It was better for us before God delivered us." Really? Making bricks and guards beating your back with a whip is better? The whole congregation, the Bible says in Exodus 16:2. Exodus 16:2 says, "The whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread to the full.'" In the hard, dry times when the complaining begins, it is usually directed at leaders, family members, friends, enemies, even the government. Most of us, out of fear, would never name God as the source of our troubles. So likewise, the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron, but no doubt they were really thinking was, "It's the Lord who has let us down. Moses saw through it and called them on the carpet. Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." The wilderness reveals the motives of our heart, whether they are selfish or selfless. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's really going on in your heart. What is driving you? What attitudes or behaviors are keeping you enslaved in your Egypt or causing you to complain in your wilderness? We need to ask the Holy Spirit today, "Search my heart. Help me to see where I'm complaining about in my wilderness." It's so vital to the health of your future to be honest and open to His loving correction. How many of you know that the Lord, whom the Lord loves, He corrects? We need to make sure that we are overcoming the spirit of murmuring and complaining, church. Amen, somebody. Murmuring and complaining in your individual life, in your own home and family, and even in the church. Because if you bring it, if it's going on in your life, you're bringing it into the church. Because you are the church. He goes on to say, and I just got a few more pages here. God Himself was not the pursuit of the children of Israel, so they weren't unable to know His ways. They got excited about His mighty works, but whenever God's supernatural power was not on display, they strayed. If Moses was on the mountain, they drifted and played. They were satisfied with merely the benefits of salvation. There was no longing for more of God and to know Him intimately. One day in the wilderness, God told Moses to go down and tell the people to consecrate themselves, for He was coming to Mount Sinai to speak to them, just as earlier He had spoken to Moses. However, when the day came and the Lord showed up in the magnificent splendor and display of His greatness, the people could not handle it. And I read this earlier, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off and said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die." They pleaded with Moses, "You talk to God for us and tell us what He says and we will do it." Paraphrased. Again, showing their selfish desire for God's benefits without a relationship with Him. Maybe they had good intentions. They wanted to keep God's word, but without an intimate relationship with Him, they couldn't follow through. My whole point in this morning is to tell you it is an intimate relationship that is going to empower us to do what God's called us to do. Because otherwise, what we're going to be doing is just celebrating and just worshiping Him when we see the signs and the wonders and the manifestations. But I'm here to tell somebody here this morning, it's not just about worshiping God in the manifestations and the signs and the wonders. It's about worshiping Him, listen, for who He is. And that's what Moses was all about. He was about a relationship with God. I want to be with you. I want to be in your presence. And the more we're in the presence of God and the more we want to be with Him as a church, we're going to see His empowerment in our lives to carry out what He's calling us to do. But we can't do good works unless we have that intimate relationship with God. Those works are going to come out of that relationship. Just knowing Him. Knowing His ways. Walking with Him. Not just seeking His hand,
but seeking His face. So many people, they just want to praise and worship God and be all about God and talk about God when things are going great for them and there's blessings being poured out. But there's going to be times in your life when you're going to feel like God is a long ways off. You might be in the wilderness and you're saying, God, where are you? You know where He's at? He's right there with you. He's just not with you in a way that you want right now. Because you can't feel Him so closely and you can't feel His manifest presence in your senses like you want to. But that's where faith comes in, church. That's where standing on the promises of God. That's what we talked about this morning in the class. When God gives you a promise, you got to stand on that promise even when it feels like it's not even coming to pass or ever will come to pass. If God gives you a promise, He wants to grow you in the process. He wants to show you what it means to have character. Oh, hallelujah. And maturity in the middle of it. You've got to surrender to God and say, God, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Even when I don't understand what's going on, I trust you in the process because you're going to get me to the end and you're going to help me see this promise come to pass and be fulfilled for your glory. Come on, give Him praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 See, it's important. God has a purpose for us. When we're in the wilderness, He has a purpose, and that purpose is to build character. Character, maturity. And all these good things that are to come to pass, they're going to come to pass from the relationship. Hallelujah. We need to work on our relationship. I don't know about you, but I want to work on my relationship even more. My relationship with the Lord. Just to know Him. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. See, a lot of people shy away from that latter part of the verse. But Paul said, I want to know you whatever it takes. I just want to know you. If it's on the mountaintop, I want to know you. If it's down in the valley, I want to know you. If it's in the resurrection power, everybody loves that, don't they? I want to know you. But if it's also suffering, I want to know you. I yield myself to you no matter what the circumstances are around me. I want to know you and have an intimate relationship with you. I choose to praise and worship you no matter what's going on. And I believe you've got a plan for my life. I believe that you're at work, God. I believe, hallelujah, I believe you've given me a vision for the future, and I'm going to flow with that vision. I'm going to walk in that vision. I'm going to do some things I've never done before. I'm going to step out in faith and trust you. You'll never walk on water unless you choose to get out of the boat and do something you've never done before. It's time as a church we trust God with vision. We trust God with purpose and get out from where we are and trust God and get after the vision that God has given us. Hallelujah. Now lastly, God will reveal Himself to you when you choose to draw near. Notice, the Bible says that back in Exodus chapter 3, He said, when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, that's when God called to him. In other words, Moses didn't say, well, oh, that's kind of neat, and just walk off. He started walking closer. And the Bible says when Moses started to get closer, when he chose to take a closer look, when he chose to go deeper, that's when God began to speak. I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me this week, if you'll just choose to get nearer and closer to me, I'm going to reveal myself to you in some fresh ways. I'm going to give fresh revelation of who I am to you. I'm going to begin to speak to you in ways that you haven't heard in a long time. And I want you to tell my people as a church, I'm calling this church to draw near to me and to take a closer look at what I'm doing, because I want to speak to my people and I want to reveal myself to them. I want to show them that I haven't given up on them, that I've got a purpose and a plan for their life. Hallelujah. It may look bleak at times, but I'm here to tell somebody it's not over until it's over. God has got us in the process, but in the process, we're going to learn something about ourselves, and we're going to learn more about Him, and we're going to glorify God when we get to the other side, because we know it wasn't us. It was just the hand of God working through some willing vessels, willing to be used by God. Notice the contrast of the people. Moses was saying, "Here I am." Moses was saying, "I want to get closer. I want to take a deeper, closer look." What were the people saying? They're saying, "You speak to God for us, but we can't handle it." Do you think that was God's intention from the beginning? Just for Moses to experience Him intimately? Was it God's purpose for the people to always stay on the outside looking in? I don't believe God wanted them just to depend on Moses' relationship with God. Hello? I mean, there comes a time, church, when we all need somebody else's faith to carry our faith, because we're weak at times. And if you need somebody to pray for, I promise you, you can pray for me. Please pray for me and my family every day, because we need it. Please pray for us. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you on a regular basis. Lord, touch the church. Minister to your people. Lead them and guide them by your Spirit. Lead them away from the pitfalls of the enemy and lead them down. Lead them into truth. Help them to walk with you. Help them to walk in the Spirit. Walk in holiness. Lord, cover them with your blood. That's my prayer for you on a regular basis. I'm praying and interceding, standing in the gap for the church. We need that. Amen. But what I'm trying to share with you right now is there comes a time when you can't just lean on somebody else's relationship. You've got to draw near yourself. You've got to come on in yourself. Sometimes people use, "Please pray for me," as an excuse because they don't want to pray for themselves. They're not willing to draw close themselves. That's what the people were doing here in Exodus 20. We can't come close ourselves because we're really not interested in this personal, intimate relationship. We just like all these signs and wonders. You know, some people just like the manifestations, but they don't really want to know God and pay the price for the anointing and pay the price for the power of God. They just want to glean from everybody else's relationship. I'm going to tell you, there's a price to be paid if you want God to move in your life. There's a price to be paid if we want God to move in the church. There's a price to be paid if we want to really reach the harvest of lost souls in this community and in this city. We're going to have to do some things we've never done before. We're going to have to think outside of the box. We're going to have to get rid of our legalistic spirit, our traditional mindset. We've always done it this way. Well, where's that getting us? Sometimes it's necessary to change and take a fresh look at where we are. I'm not standing on the outside anymore, looking in and depending on everybody else to do what God's called me to do. God is calling you and me as a church. I feel the anointing of God right now. I wish somebody would pray for me and help me praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. But God is calling us as a church to go on in to what God has for us individually and collectively, not stand on the outside looking in, but say, "Oh God, I'm coming on in myself. I'm going to be intimate with you myself. I'm going to work from a relationship myself, and out of that relationship will come manifestations. It will come new ministries. It will come vision. It will come purpose. It will come meaning and fulfillment in life and in the church." It's that relationship that's going to be the fuel that's going to carry us forward in ministry. Hallelujah. I
I speak that over this church. I speak new life. I speak new purpose. I speak new ministries. I pray that they would flow. I pray that Holy Spirit would begin to put ministries inside of you. In the name of Jesus, He would begin to put purpose inside of you. Where you would say, you know what, I can do that in ministry. I can be used by God. And that way, God's going to start giving some people visions. Here's some things that you can do in and through the church. You know what I believe? And I know this is what I sense in my heart. God is getting us poised for growth. I heard about three amens. I said, God is getting us poised for growth. How many of you want to grow? I want to grow spiritually, and I want to grow numerically. There's a harvest of souls that are lost, and you and I've got to go after them. We can't just be pew warmers. We've got to get off of our pew and work for God. We've got to say, I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved for this purpose. I'm saved to serve. Everybody say that with me right now. I am saved to serve. You're not saved to just sit and soak or sour. You are saved to serve. That's right. Everybody in this house can serve God in some way. How many of you know as you serve people, you are serving the Lord? As you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I am excited about the potential that we have to move forward as a church. And that's why I'm asking you, if you haven't already filled out your form to be here this coming Wednesday night, we're trying to get on the same page together and figure out the what. Once we figure out the what, then we'll figure out the how. But that's where we're at, identifying what God has called us to do as a church and then figuring out how we're going to carry out those tasks. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is going to enable us? He's going to empower us to do what He's called us to do. He will be with us in the process. It is a process. It won't all be done at one time. You've got to start somewhere. But how many of you know that over a process of time of doing the right thing, God is going to bless our efforts? We've got to start with the vision and work it, hallelujah, with the glory and the power and the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God moving in our lives. Hallelujah, Bohusha. I've called you for such a time as this. Now is the time, saith the Lord. You are at a crossroads. You're at a critical juncture. My Spirit is calling you. My Spirit is beckoning you. Come and I will show you my ways. Come to me and be in relationship with me. Be intimate with me. And out of that relationship, ministries will flow. Lives will be changed. Bodies will be healed. Miracles will take place. Come to me. It's in my presence. You will find fullness of joy and purpose and meaning in your life, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise and glory. Give Him praise. Come on, stand and give Him glory. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him, church. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody in this house, if you're able, I want you to stand and lift your hands and give God praise. Hallelujah. Lift those hands and worship unto the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you say with me, Holy Spirit, I'm giving myself to you. Use me for your glory. Here I am, a willing vessel. I am saved to serve. Would you meet me down on this altar this morning and just come with that testimony? Here I am, God, move in my life. I come to draw near. I don't want to just be on the outside looking in. God, I want to be a participant in the house of God, in the plan of the church. I want to be involved for the glory of God. Why don't you come? I wish everybody in this house would be in this altar right now in some form and some fashion. God wants to use you today. Hallelujah. And going forward in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. I want to be used. Hallelujah. I want to be used. It could be as simple as I'm going to be on the care team and I'm going to write cards to people. I'm going to make fun. I want to be used.
I know this is Father's Day, and I know there's a lot going on, but this is what the Spirit of the Lord has prompted my heart with this morning. Hallelujah. I cannot help but think about every Father's Day that comes and goes. I think about Father's Day of 1995 at the Brownsville Assembly Church, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and for many years, every single night, people filled that church hungry and thirsty for God. I'm telling you, God wants to bring revival to this church. He wants to bring revival to this city. How many of you want revival in your life? You want revival in the church? Would you cry out to me right now, everybody in this God, pour out revival in my life. Pour out revival in this church. Pour it out, Lord Jesus. Pour it out. Hallelujah. Give me a heart that hungers for revival. Lord Jesus, I choose to draw near. Hallelujah. I choose to draw near. I don't want to be an outsider looking in. I want to draw near. Would you pray that prayer with me this morning if you mean it from your heart? That's in your heart. Pray it. Lord, I want to move on closer to you. I want to take a closer look. I want to come to a deeper place with you. What is it you're calling me to do, Lord? What is it you're saying to me? Help me to hear your voice. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Thank you for using me, Lord, to help grow the church where you planted me. You have put me here for such a time as this, God. Such a time as this, you have placed me here. You have brought me here. Your Spirit has led me here. And I thank you, Lord, for your enablement and your empowerment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Once more, whether you're in the altar or in the pew, would you just lift your hands and say, God, here I am. Come on, here I am. Move in me, Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Move in me, Lord. Hallelujah. In spite of my past, thank you, Lord, that you're redeeming my past. You're redeeming me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not chained to my past. I'm not handicapped by it anymore, Lord. You're using me for your glory. Thank you for the purpose and the plan that you have for my life. You said if you will seek me, you will find me when I've searched for you with all of my heart. And that's what I'm doing, Lord. I'm seeking after you with my heart. I'm not just seeking after your blessings. Lord, I'm not just seeking after your hand. I'm seeking your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know you intimately. Praise you, Lord. It's all about you, sing it. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you. It really is. It's all about Jesus, church. It's all about him. Sing it. Oh, Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all about you. It's all about you. Hallelujah.
leave you this, one more reminder. When you choose to draw near, instead of being on the outside, being a spectator, God's going to start revealing himself to you in a very personal way. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready. God's going to start speaking to you, revealing himself to you. Don't be afraid to say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I be used in your kingdom? Oh, it's a beautiful thing to make yourself available, to sacrifice and say, you know what, God? Your purpose means a lot to me. And I want your plan to be fulfilled in my life. Amen? Amen. Sister Deborah, where are you? Is she in here? Oh, right here in front of me. Sorry. Come, please, and share a few announcements with us. You may be seated for a few minutes. Thank you for being in God's house today on this Father's Day. I pray that you have a great day, a great rest of the day with your family, if your family's in town. Thank you for being in God's house. God bless you.
Okay, so there's a couple things in the bulletin we really need to draw our attention to. Again, the visionary meeting, Pastor Dale mentioned it, this Wednesday night. If you are going to be there and haven't filled out your RSVP for your meal, please do so. You can either put it on the church office desk or put it on the church office desk. since the offering's already been taken up. We had originally scheduled the family fellowship night. If you read the council minutes, that's something that we want to start doing on a monthly basis for the 23rd, but because of state camp meeting, we have rescheduled it to a family picnic on the 14th of July. Please put that on your calendar and make plans to attend. That should be a really fun time. It's a Sunday afternoon at Lake Julian. So be sure and put that on your calendar.